I think that we now have an opportunity to see a resolution to this that avoids bloodshed.
A massive rally in Myanmar. This is Thursday, the 18th of February, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, a big uptick in attacks on Asians in the United States. China using vaccine to win friends in parts of Europe. And a deadly winter storm sweeps through much of the United States. That and more on today's VOA Asia. Thousands of demonstrators gathered Wednesday in the streets of Yangon, Myanmar's largest city, despite a ban on gatherings of more than four people imposed by the military. Roads and bridges leading into and through Yangon were blocked by cars with their hoods up, making them appear to have engine trouble, a new tactic employed by protesters to keep out police and military vehicles. More now from Reuters correspondent Libby Hogan.
Cars appeared to be broken down across Myanmar's largest city of Yangon on Wednesday. It was the latest creative protests against the military coup, from taxi drivers, commuters, and even public transportation employees. Their aim was to block military and police from moving in on protesters. Min Chaw joined the demonstration downtown.
I think the civil disobedience movement is efficient because the government officers are joining the protest and the junta has to ask them to go back to work. We, the protesters, need to keep going.
Tens of thousands of demonstrators flooded the streets of Yangon and were joined by celebrities and veteran activists. On Tuesday, at a press conference, a military spokesperson said they would hold a fair election but gave no date. Police filed an additional charge against detained leader Aung San Suu Kyi of violating a natural disaster management law, on top of earlier charges of illegally importing six walkie-talkie radios. Recently, the army has given itself extensive search and detention powers, and there have been penal code amendments aimed at stifling dissent with tough prison terms. Despite this, demonstrations have continued in towns across the ethnically diverse country. The civil disobedience movement has been growing with strikes that are crippling many functions of government.
Libby Hogan reporting. Tom Andrews, the UN Special Rapporteur for the Situation of Human Rights in Myanmar, said the escalation of a military presence in Myanmar's biggest cities makes him very nervous.
This is a very, very important moment, and I think that we now have an opportunity to see a resolution to this that avoids bloodshed if the Tatmadaw appreciates the fact that this is not going to go away, that they are not going to be able to turn the clock back to where it was.
In Yangon, protesters march carrying signs calling for ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi to be released from detention. This is VOA Asia. Rights groups in the United States say they're seeing a rise in hate speech and attacks against Asian Americans since the coronavirus pandemic began last year. Several recent violent incidents involving older Asian Americans have increased worries over anti-Asian bigotry. Isha Sarai has more.
Asians against violence against us.
Protesters have taken to the streets to speak out against hate following a sharp uptick in attacks against Asian Americans over the past month. Most recently in Oakland, California.
It could have been my mother, or it could have been my father or my grandparent that was attacked in the driveway.
Oakland police have responded by shifting more resources into the city's Chinatown area.
We've shifted resources to our Chinatown community. We've put our command posts in the Chinatown community, moving it from different locations so that it's seen as a presence throughout Chinatown. We've increased our routine patrols in our Chinatown area.
Reported attacks on Asian Americans have been steadily rising since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, which former President Trump called the China virus because of its origins in Wuhan.
We do know that the rise in anti-Asian racism and attacks against our community over the past year has had devastating impacts.
More than 2,800 incidents of racism and discrimination against Asian Americans in the U.S. have been reported over the past year to the organization Stop AAPI Hate. President Joe Biden signed an executive order last month aimed at combating racial discrimination against Asian Americans.
He is concerned about the discrimination against the actions against the Asian American community.
Most of the reported incidents against Asian Americans since last March were cases involving verbal harassment or shunning, while about 9% of incidents reported physical assaults. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. China is promising to provide its Sinovac vaccine to Central and Eastern European countries scrambling to obtain COVID-19 vaccinations for their populations. Beijing's pledge came at a summit earlier this month with 17 Central and Eastern European nations in what experts see as part of a global effort by Beijing to expand influence and diversify China's trading partners. More from VOA's Ardita Donolari.
China's pandemic diplomacy comes at a time when Central and Eastern European countries face increasing pressure from their populations for life-saving vaccines. But their inability to procure the necessary doses has given China an opening, says analyst J. Stephen Morrison.
You know, the Western states, the most powerful European and North American countries, are hoarding their supplies of vaccines. The Chinese are coming forward and aggressively marketing theirs and using them as diplomatic tools.
Distributing the Chinese vaccines is aimed at generating goodwill, but Beijing is also trying to drive a wedge between the region and its Western allies, says expert Valbona Zeneli.
You know, in Southern Europe, in Central Eastern Europe, it's been this idea of pushing the dissatisfaction with the European Union and the way that the European Union has handled, vaccination, but also previously the crisis.
Since 2012, China has offered direct investments and loans for major infrastructure projects in Central and Eastern Europe and promised increased trade. But almost a decade later, these projects have produced few jobs or economic boost for local businesses. Now there are growing concerns over Chinese business practices that ignore labor rights and environment protections.
In most of cases, these are loans that will be paid back from the governments of these countries. Non-transparent contracts where we see Chinese companies implementing the projects, in most of the cases, Chinese labor force and Chinese raw materials.
When it comes to trade, Zeneli notes a deepening imbalance in which Chinese companies are the main beneficiaries and local businesses have seen little increase in their exports to China. That may be about to change as China looks for new import partners to reduce its dependence on U.S. imports, says J. Stephen Morrison.
They're turning away from that deep interdependence. They're trying to lower that and they want to find replacement. Well, maybe then there's a more serious engagement here when they come and talk about export markets into China from Eastern and Central Europe. Maybe this time around it's more serious.
Morrison adds that China took a major gamble by rolling out its vaccines before completing the rigorous full trials. Failure, he warns, could be detrimental and not just for China's reputation.
That could destroy the public trust and confidence in vaccines. It could begin to set us back. The world needs to move forward towards a common achievement of herd immunity, of getting to 75 or 80% of coverage with safe and effective vaccines.
As China pushes to expand its influence, experts stress the need for a more assertive engagement from Western powers to ensure that China is not using weaknesses in Central and Eastern Europe to gain an unfair advantage in the global marketplace.
The most important thing is creating a level playing field, a transparent playing field for the rules of the global economy.
In Europe and beyond, where China has ambitions, experts say Beijing needs to prove that it is willing to embrace its responsibilities of being a global power that plays by the rules. Ardita Dunelari, VOA News, Washington.
The price for a single Bitcoin briefly crossed the $50,000 threshold Tuesday in early trading. To learn more about what's behind the cryptocurrency's recent gains and what it means for the sector and the economy moving forward, VOA's Steve Miller spoke with William Luther, assistant professor of economics at Florida Atlantic University and the director of the Sound Money Project at the American Institute for Economic Research.
Well, it's important to recognize that Bitcoin is first and foremost a medium of exchange. It has the potential to be a money. And so all the speculation surrounding Bitcoin concerns the extent to which it's actually going to do that. So the demand for Bitcoin is primarily driven by people's usefulness of Bitcoin as a medium of exchange, or their expectation that it will be a useful medium of exchange in the future. And so broad brushstroke, people are expecting that Bitcoin is more likely to be a useful medium of exchange in the future. That's why the price is being driven up today.
Now, you mentioned medium of exchange. Unlike the dollar, the euro, other currencies around the world, Bitcoin isn't pegged to a particular economy. There's no intrinsic value to a Bitcoin other than the value that other people place on it. So what does that do in terms of kind of regulating the value of such, because it's not pegged to something that many people see in a physical world?
So most monies that we use today are not backed by anything. They're intrinsically worthless. That is, they're either useful as a money, as a medium of exchange, or they're not useful at all. The dollar is not backed by anything. A dollar is only worth what other people are willing to hand over in exchange for those dollars. But where the dollar and the euro and the renminbi differ from Bitcoin is that those government-issued currencies, they have some demand support from their government. If you're in the U.S. and you're using dollars, you don't have to worry that the government is going to suddenly stop using dollars. And the government is a big player in the U.S. economy. And so the value of the dollar has a sort of lower bound, right? Because you can always hand over these notes to the government and get some base level value there. With Bitcoin, there is no government standing at the ready to accept these, say, in the payment of taxes or in the payment of fees. And so the value can fluctuate quite a bit. There's no base level of value there because there's no inherent demand support from a big institution like a government. And so that does create scope for much bigger swings in the purchasing power of Bitcoin relative to, say, the dollar or the euro.
Steve Miller spoke with William Luther, assistant professor of economics at Florida Atlantic University and director of the Sound Money Project at the American Institute for Economic Research. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says the military alliance will only leave Afghanistan when security conditions allow. The comments come as a May 1st deadline for withdrawing troops set out in the peace deal with the Taliban nears. NATO has just under 10,000 troops there, helping to train and advise the Afghan security forces. Most are not U.S. forces, but NATO could not operate without American support. President Joe Biden is reviewing his predecessor's 2020 deal with the Taliban. Calls are mounting for him to delay the pullout. Despite rising violence, Stoltenberg says NATO's presence is conditions-based and that the Taliban have to meet their commitments. He said Wednesday that the focus should be on re-energizing Afghan peace talks. An historic winter storm has killed more than 20 people, left millions of Texans without power, and spun killer tornadoes in the United States Southeast. Matthew Larentonda reports.
The brutal winter weather across the southern United States has now killed at least 21 people, left millions without power, and spun tornadoes in multiple states. Four of those killed were in a house fire in Texas, with other deaths linked to the bitter cold. Officials have warned people not to bring grills or propane heaters indoors after carbon monoxide poisoning killed at least two people and hospitalized several others. As an Arctic air mass pushed temperatures to historic lows on Tuesday, several facilities opened their doors as warming centers as volunteers rallied to help. The rare deep freeze has also forced the closure of some COVID vaccination centers. The treacherous weather is expected to grip much of the country through Friday. An approaching storm will likely bring more snow, ice, and sleet from the Texas Panhandle through Kentucky, up through Washington, D.C., to New York City, New Jersey, and Boston.
That was Reuters correspondent Matthew Larentonda. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Heibel, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington.